Radio Prague News.
The government has approved a bill allowing citizens to call referenda. Interior Minister Jan Kubice has rejected a call to resign over family connections to lobbyist Roman Janošek, and police unions have lent their support to the Prague chief of police over the arrest of Mr. Janošek. The government has approved a bill that will allow citizens to call referenda on the basis of petitions. If approved by Parliament, a general referendum could be called by obtaining 250,000 signatures or by the government. The bill would allow citizens to vote on domestic or international issues that exceed the term of office of one government. They could not be used to decide on the appointment or dismissal of individual officials, tax issues, or judicial rulings. Passage of the bill requires a constitutional majority, for which the coalition will need opposition support. The opposition Social Democratic Party has voiced disagreement with various aspects of the legislation, such as the 50% turnout requirement needed for decisions made in referenda to take effect. The civic initiative pushing for public referenda has criticized the government's legislation, saying it leaves the decision-making in the hands of the governing majority. The pro-alt movement told a meeting of the Senate's Constitutional Law Committee that the bill was a shameful assault on democracy. The committee's deputy chair, Social Democrat Jiří Dienstbier, also called the bill a travesty and said the government's proposal was actually aimed at preventing any referendum from taking place. His criticism was not included in the committee's recommendations, however. The pro-alt movement is a civic initiative aimed at contesting the government's reform plans with alternative policies. Interior Minister Jan Kubice has rejected a call from the opposition to resign over family connections to lobbyist Roman Janošek. Mr. Kubice denied any personal responsibility for the bungling of Mr. Janošek's arrest last week, noting that he would be in office for only 2 hours if he took responsibility for every officer's mistake. Kubice's son-in-law is a lawyer for Mr. Janošek, who was charged with intentional bodily harm under the influence of alcohol last week, that amid a major lobbying scandal involving his influence on Prague City Hall. Additionally, the father-in-law of the Interior Minister's son heads a company linked to the scandal. Mr. Kubice said the relationships had been public knowledge since he took office and said he would in no way influence the investigation. Police unions have lent their support to Prague Police Chief Martin Vondrášek over the arrest of Roman Janošek. Police President Petro Lessi on Tuesday called for Mr. Vondrášek to take personal responsibility for the numerous mistakes made in the lobbyist's arrest, namely that he was released while intoxicated and allowed to make telephone calls. In a petition released by the unions, policemen and civilian employees said that Vondrášek was a capable and honest policeman and that the Prague police is resistant to political and lobbying influences under his command. Mr. Vondrášek says he will only consider resigning after an investigation shows whether the mistakes in the arrest were caused by systemic or individual problems. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be warm and mostly sunny, with daytime highs reaching 20 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech government has approved a bill on automatic referenda. A fresh survey suggests that nearly one in two Czech women have become victims of some form of domestic abuse. And later in the program, we hear about a famous historic locomotive in our program Spotlight. All that coming up, so do stay with us. The Czech government on Wednesday approved a bill on automatic referenda, something the public as well as politicians from across the board have been calling for years. Under the draft legislation, it would take 250,000 signatures and an approval by the country's parliament to call a plebiscite. But critics say the bill is so restrictive that it makes it nearly impossible to launch the process and that it has very small chances of being approved by lawmakers. Jan Richter reports.
After having pushed through direct presidential elections earlier this year, the Czech government has tackled another long-standing issue. For the 21st time since the fall of communism, the country's parliament will debate a bill on automatic referenda, which was approved by the cabinet on Wednesday. Under the draft legislation, 250,000 Czechs would have to sign the motion, which would then be voted on by both chambers of parliament. The bill would also allow the government to call a referendum, again with the lawmakers' approval. Under the new bill, referenda could be called on principal issues of the country's domestic or foreign policy. However, security, tax and judicial matters, as well as possible amendments to the constitution, are exempt from being put to the public vote. The same goes for motions to appoint or fire individuals to and from elected posts. At least 50% of all voters would have to take part for the referendum to be binding. The government hopes the bill will finally satisfy continuous calls for the introduction of automatic referenda into the Czech constitutional system. Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík, who oversaw its preparation, said the coalition was open to future debates about the bill's details.
In the past, critics of the bill, both in the lower house and outside of it, have not been able to get a similar procedure approved. We believe the compromise we have now come up with will be acceptable, and we are, of course, ready to discuss it in the Chamber of Deputies.
As a constitutional amendment, the bill needs to be approved by two-thirds of deputies and senators to enter into force. That is highly unlikely, as the opposition Social Democrats, whose votes would be needed in each chamber, said the bill seems to be designed to thwart plebiscites rather than to facilitate them. But even members of Ms. Peake's own legislative team acknowledged that the terms of the bill would make calling a referendum practically impossible. Jan Kysela is a leading Czech constitutional expert and a member of the government's legislative council.
The likelihood that a meaningful referendum would be called on the basis of this legislation is relatively small. However, if you want to make a notch in your belt for having dealt with it, and at the same time don't really want a referendum, this is a nice way out of it.
At a news conference on Wednesday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas was in fact asked whether the real purpose of the bill was to tick off a point on the government's agenda or to actually approve it. And Mr. Nečas said, having it approved and ticking off a point on our agenda, in that order.
That report was brought to you by Jan Richter. Thanks for that, Jan. A fresh survey suggests that nearly one in two Czech women at one point in their lives have become victims of some form of domestic abuse. The poll, published by the NGO Profem, also concludes that about a third of those affected are afraid to speak up. I spoke to one of the authors of the survey, sociologist Kamil Kunz, who explains its conclusions, what can be done to improve the situation, and how the data was gathered.
Our survey is a representative sample of women in Czech Republic. So we approach those who are 18 or older, and as we want to get detailed information on domestic violence extent, we asked 3,000 women, and data were collected online, which is cost-effective and appropriate for surveys where we ask very personal questions.
What were the main results of the survey?
From our survey, we know that there are 40% of women who were victims of domestic violence during her life, and 11% of women stated that they have been victims of domestic violence within last year. And if we look to prevention, there is 69% of women believe that prevention is insufficient in Czech Republic.
So 40% of women having been at the receiving end of domestic violence, that is a very high number. Are there any explanations as to why the number is so high?
It's quite high, but it's unfortunately, it's not shocking for people who are involved, for experts that help victims, but typically domestic violence is a hidden social problem that is not widely and publicly discussed. So for public, numbers might be shocking, but not for experts who are involved in this issue. There have been done a couple of surveys in Czech Republic since 2000, and unfortunately, results consistently confirm extent of domestic violence. So around 40 to 50% of population, women population, are subject of domestic violence.
And if we look at one result of your survey, it's about 2/3 of women who actually tell someone that they have been a victim of violence, whereas about 1/3 don't. Now, what can be done to improve the situation for those 60% who are courageous enough to step forward?
So for victims, it's important to know what they could do in that situation, how to proceed. And also, it's important to have access to free legal aid. I think these two things could help very much.
Kamil Kunz was speaking there about the very serious issue of domestic abuse in this country. And of course, if you have any opinion on this issue, we'd love to hear from you either on Facebook, where you can find us under the name Radio Prague, or also you could email us to english@radio.cz. And now lovers of famous historic steam engines will very much enjoy this edition of Spotlight.
(434) is the number of a famous historic locomotive that has appeared in countless Czech films, including Bangi Kluci, about Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, a favorite among children and adults. Last Saturday, visitors to Prague's main station were able to see the jet-black steam engine prepare for a rare but much-anticipated journey along one of the most picturesque routes in the Czech Republic. Seating had been sold out for days, but families still bought standing room. Headed for destinations like Davle, Dinec nad Sázavo, and final stop, Čerčany, all within 60 or so kilometers from Prague. Petr Pavlík, the event's main organizer, told me more about the train's history.
Parní lokomotiva, která nás veze, čtyřkolák, je vyrobená v roce 1917.
The steam locomotive pulling this train is called Štyřkolák, or four-wheeler, and it was built in 1917. It's a very strong all-purpose locomotive, which primarily transported goods, but at times was also used by the public. On horizontal track, it can pull up to 2,400 tons, which is really quite something.
Posázavský Pacific is a well-known nickname for the route the train follows along the meandering Sázava River.
The moniker was originally thought up by Czechs who loved what came to be known as tramping in the First Republic, that is, traveling around the country with a love for nature, with a backpack and guitar. They had a real love for the stories of cowboys and Indians, and the history of the Wild West. The route along the Sázava, with its cliffs and valleys, was in many ways also reminiscent of the American landscape. Pacific is a reference to the great old railway companies, like Colorado or Union Pacific.
Says Petr Pavlík, nostalgic train rides first gained popularity in 1980s Czechoslovakia, when people became increasingly nostalgic about steam engines and the Czechs' tramping heritage. More and more wanted to relive the age of steam, and it remains immensely popular even today. Czech Railways organizes around 20 events per year, the Sázava Pacific just one of them.
Pacific is long, 157 kilometers. It is divided in Čerčanech on the spodní větev, po které právě jedeme, teda do Prahy.
In its entirety, the Pacific is 157 kilometers long, an amazing route. There are cliffs, viaducts, tunnels. Part of the route was built in four stages, and the area we're at now is 110 years old. Some of the most impressive areas are in the area of Davle, not far from Prague. There's a gorgeous cliff face there known as Pikovický Kamín. In Davle, the route climbs up from river level up into the cliffs, and there's really a beautiful view.
prodírá se tam ve srázu, dole vidíte krásný kanion řeky, nahoře nad vámi prostě další skály, je to skutečně fantastická věc.
No kidding, the view is extraordinary. On the train, passengers crowd the corridor to look out the windows. Children, some of them in conductor's outfits, run back and forth as a band in one of the train cars plays.
Our daughters are 10 and 7 and son is 3. It's fantastic. It's a great canyon. It's very deep and we can see the river. Fantastic.
Slyšel jsem o tom už několik let.
I'd heard about this train for years and rode a similar line near the Krkonoše Mountains. The train is beautiful. Everything's been renovated like new.
Je to všechno zachovaný, to zrekonstruovaný.
You aren't supposed to stand out here, but that's what they used to do. Romantic would-be tramps played guitar out here and smoked. I don't know how they did it, but they used to even climb onto the roof of the wagon car and sit up there. I've seen it in old photographs.
As the train makes its way through the countryside blowing its whistle, pedestrians, cyclists, cottage owners and their children wave. They're always waving, agrees Miroslav Vondrák, the train's engineer.
People wave to us from their cottage gardens when we go by, and why not? Watching as a bunch of sweaty guys break their backs to keep this thing going is not bad at all when you're in your garden having a beer. But we get a kick out of it. When we come into the station, kids run up to get a look at the locomotive, eyes like saucers, the engine's here, it's perfect.
All the same, running the Sázava Pacific is no joke. Organizer Petr Pavlík.
The Sázava route is very much up and down. There are a lot of steep climbs. The engineer and others running the train are real fans of steam and they know what they're doing. You have to have experience and knowledge. A boiler man can fire up a furnace well. But if you don't time it right, you can run out of steam on a hill.
Velice rychle ta pára dojezdí, protože zůstane v kopci stát a nemá páru. Prostě topič udělal tak blbej oheň, že se třeba oheň utlumil a prostě nejedeme.
Engineer Miroslav Vondrák admits, you have to know your stuff. All kinds of little details that the old timers used to know.
Strojvedoucího dělám od roku 1975. A na téhle mašině jezdím od roku 1970, už jsem tam jezdil jako topič na ní.
I've been a train engineer since 1975, but first worked on this locomotive in 1970 as a boilerman. I know this locomotive like the back of my hand. There are huge differences between this and new trains. Nothing's automatic. During the journey, you have to keep an eye on the engine and make sure you don't overdo it. You have to make sure that you travel at a reasonable pace. You have to listen to the machine to make sure everything's running right, enough steam and water, and that the boiler man is doing his job. In the summer, it's incredibly hot. In the winter, you freeze your behind. With all the coal, too, it's a messy job. At the end of the day, we're black as devils.
Tady je hrozná špína, hrozný vedro, v zimě hrozná zima. Vidíte, jak vypadáme, jsme jak čerti, no takže co si budeme povídat.
Still, all the effort pays off. There's nothing quite like taking an historic train on such a journey. Members of the crew sweat it out and complain under their breath that there are too many things to patch and fix and take care of to keep trains like the 434 out of the museum and on the track. But you know, they really wouldn't have it any other way. Theirs is an obsession that goes beyond work or hobby. A real appreciation for historic machines and bygone days. They're not alone. Last Saturday, it was a fascination shared by some 800 passengers on the train.
Abych řekl, že možná je to ještě víc, jako jo, protože teď je toho málo a ty lidi čím dál jako to.
I'd say riding historic trains is more popular now than ever. It's really nostalgic. There's a lot less of it now and people want to experience it. Sometimes you get some of the old guys who haven't been back for 30 years and suddenly they come on board and reminisce. It's good. A good way to get away and relax from work and our hectic age.
Tak se odreagujou a se vzpomínají na mladý časy.
Train engineer Miroslav Vondrák was speaking to Radio Prague's Jan Wellinger for this edition of Spotlight. It was first broadcast in May 2007. And I'm afraid this brings us to the end of our regular weekday program, but we are rounding it off, of course, as always, with ABC, our Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to another episode of our new Czech teaching series, explaining Czech idioms about everything that grows on a farm, fruit, vegetables, nuts and flowers. Today we start with grain crops. The Czech word for all types of grain crops is
obilí.
In some other Slavonic languages the word means plenty. It only signifies the importance of cereal crops for humans. Living like a pig in rye.
Žít si jako prase v žitě.
That's how Czechs describe a life of plenty and pleasure. Staying with rye, to throw one's rifle in the rye,
hodit flintu do žita,
means to give up, to throw in the towel. And finally, to be beaten like rye,
bitý jako žito,
means to get a good beating, the way the harvest is threshed to produce grains. Staying with the image,
mlátit prázdnou slámu,
to thresh empty straw, means to beat the air, to flog a dead horse. Straw is an important byproduct of grain growing. If Czechs refer to someone's hair as straw,
vlasy jako sláma,
they usually mean both the color and texture. An interesting expression is
slaměná vdova
or
slaměný vdovec,
a straw widow or widower. That is a woman or a man whose spouse is temporarily away, say on business. For this, English has a similar phrase, a grass widow or grass widower. Not only pigs, but geese as well are fond of grains, according to Czech idioms, and they can't wait for them to be ripe and reaped. Impatient people, especially children, are often told
dočkej času jako husa klasu.
Word by word, bide your time, just like a goose waits for ears of corn. Today, combine harvesters do all the work, but in the past, after the ears of grain were threshed with a flail, people still had to winnow the grains, to separate the wheat from the chaff, or
oddělit zrno od plev.
An expression which in Czech too has a metaphoric meaning, to separate the good from the bad. Now we've obtained clean grains.
Zrno.
The first meaning of the collocation
ječné zrno
is of course a grain of barley, but the expression has a medical meaning as well. A stai, that is inflammation of a sebaceous gland of an eyelid. And finally, if you say about someone that he is
člověk hrubého zrna,
a man of a coarse grain, you want to say that the person is vulgar and rude. And that is all for today's lesson. But please join us next time if you can. Until then,
naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with ABC. They are wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the show today. You can either write us to english@radio.cz, find us on Facebook, or if you prefer to write the good old-fashioned letter, the postal address here is Vinohradská 12-12099 Prague 2. And as always, everything you've heard on the program today and in the past podcast can also be found at our website, radio.cz. There you can discover a huge archive of reports in both text and audio form. And you can also sign up for a free news email as well as use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.